Last Wednesday evening, I was sharing with you some thoughts that the Lord gave me last week on what it means to believe in the aorist tense and to believe in the present tense. And what the Lord gave me to help me to understand what believing in the present tense means. And I'm doing this as by way of review. I just want to make sure that you understand, or that you get at least what I am understanding, is that if you believe something, and you have to believe it in the aorist tense to get started. If you believe something in the aorist tense, then when you're practicing believe in the present tense, you are making application. You're making application. The house of Stephanus believed that they needed to minister to the saints. In fact, the Lord said that He is not unfaithful to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward the saints, and that you have ministered to them, aorist. And that you continue to minister to them. Well, you know what? They had to believe to begin with that God wasn't going to forget that. And so therefore they ministered to the saints, and you know what? They just didn't do it one time. They kept on. That's application. And they were doing it in the present tense. The same thing about grace. Now, I didn't use this illustration last week, but in Hebrews 12:28 it says, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Now the word have is in the present tense. So I've always taught you need to have grace all the time. And to have grace all the time, you've got to always be at the throne of grace. But you know what? As I was reading over coming to the throne of grace, and you do need to come boldly, present tense, to the throne of grace. But you know what? You go there to get grace when you need it. And you don't always need it. You go there when you need it. And so that's application. But we are to have grace, and we need to believe that there's a place for that grace. And we go there, present tense, whenever we need it. Same thing about in John 3:16. The ones believing are the ones who esteem life of the age. They're the ones who want to rule and reign with Christ. That's what the word eternal life is, age-lasting life. It's life in the kingdom. And it says, they will not perish. In other words, they will not lose that life. And so, what that amounts to is this. I know that Jesus Christ is raised from the dead. I know where He is. He's at the right hand of the Father. And you know what? I go to Him whenever I'm snake bit. Because I know being snake bit means I'm not going to make it into age-lasting life. And I esteem age-lasting life. So you know what? I continually go to the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ to be healed from snake bite. The Lord's not willing that any of us should perish. But He is long-suffering toward us. That's what it says in 2 Peter, I believe it is, in 2:9. Not willing that any of us should perish, but that we should all come to repentance. And He's not talking to doomed sinners on their way to the lake of fire. He's talking to saved people. And God doesn't want saved people to perish. So He has made a way for us to be healed from snake bite. Or the devil. Did you know the devil has the power of death? And that's not physical death. everybody dies, and the devil's not gloating over the funeral homes. In other words, everybody dies, but you know what? Perishing is different than just simple physical death. Soul death is really going to hurt people when they find out what they could have enjoyed had they esteemed life for the age. Now, I want to begin this evening's message in Hebrews 11, 1 and 2. This is talking about faith. Another thing, too, that I shared last week is the fact that faith is associated with hope. When it talks about faith, you're talking about hope. Because you know what faith does? It makes our hope real. And we hope we're going to have eternal life. We hope we're going to rule and reign with Christ. And faith makes that hope real. Now, and let me just insert this before we read this. If you are going to examine yourself, whether you're in the faith or not, you know how you do that? You need to examine whether or not you have a hope for life for the coming age. If you have lost that hope, you've made shipwreck of the faith. You have made shipwreck of faith, of hope, of ruling and reigning. If you depart from the faith, you know what? You will no longer have a desire to minister to things of the Spirit. And if you do minister to things of the Spirit, you're going to reap life for the age. And so if you stop doing that, you're perishing. And you know what? We're living in the last days. I just learned this week that a church in Chattanooga that was teaching and preaching kingdom truth no longer wants to hear that message. They got rid of the pastor. And I know the man and his wife who started that work. And so people are abandoning the faith. And they no longer esteem life for the age. Because they don't want to hear the value of pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling. Now, Hebrews 11, 1 and 2. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Now, it's interesting here, the word faith is a feminine noun. And the word it in verse 2 is also feminine. And you know what that means? It is faith. By faith, the elders obtained a good report. You want a good report when you get before the Lord? You better have faith. You better have that which pleases God. Now, faith is the substance. The word substance really means to stand under, support. I know that I say give substance to hope, but it supports our hope. Faith supports what we're hoping for. And if it supports it, it makes it real. And the word hope for, or hoped, is in the present tense. And it is in the neuter gender. And it's significant because it is the evidence of things not seen. The things not seen are also in the neuter gender. They're in agreement. They go together. The things that we can't see are the things that we need to be hoping for. And you know what? We can't see the kingdom. We can't see Jesus Christ ruling and reigning today. Because he is our high priest today. We can't see the throne of grace. But I know it's there. And I go to it every morning. And I go to it whenever I need grace to help me. Now, in the next to the last verse of Hebrews 11, it says, And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. Now, what was it that they were hoping for? What were all those saints, or all those in Hebrews 11, hoping for? The promise. Well, what is the promise? Well, we'll find out in just a moment. First of all, it's the hope of age-lasting life. That we are being justified, that is not chargeable. In other words, you're living a just life. You're confessing your sin. And it's by His grace. We're justified by His grace, His authority, His power. We should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Age-lasting life is the hope of people who want to rule and reign with Christ. Now, 1 John 2:25 says, "And this is the promise." Has a definite article, "the," before it, so it's talking about a specific promise. And the word "promise" is singular in number. And it says in this verse that He promised even age-lasting life. The reason why I say age-lasting rather than eternal, the word "eternal" is actually the noun "age." And it's a noun used as an adjective. And it describes the life. And it's not the life that we have now. We don't have eternal life now. We're saved, we're in the family, but we won't get life for the coming age until we are judged and qualified to rule and reign with Christ. And that'll be in the age to come. That'll be in the millennial age. Now, I listed some verses that have to do with the hope. And one of them is the hope of the gospel. In Colossians 1:22 and 23, Paul says, "I want to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight." And this will happen if you continue in the faith. If you continue in the hope. Faith can be a very ambiguous term. If you understand what I'm saying. I mean, faith provides support for what we hope for. It's the foundation for what we hope for. Now, let's go on. "If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel." When you depart from the hope of the gospel, you have departed from the faith. You are not continuing in the faith. You're not continuing in the hope. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, it says, "The Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith." Some will abandon the hope. Let me tell you, faith and hope and love all go together. And if you allow faith to establish or to make hope real, you're going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ approved. God likes that a lot. He likes that a lot. Now, that's even why He says, without faith it is impossible to please Him. You want to please God? You better have hope. And you better have hope for life for the age, to stand in His presence approved. And we will look at that. That'll come up in just a moment. Now, in Colossians 1:27, it says, "To whom God would make known what is the riches of this glory, of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." Now, oftentimes we associate glory with something shiny. Let me tell you, the word "glory" is also translated "honor." It's Christ in me. I mean, I'm going to live like Christ lived because He was an overcomer. I want to be an overcomer. And so if I am, if Christ, the life, the attitude of Christ is in me, I have a hope of honor. When? Not now. in His coming kingdom when He passes out honor. In Titus 1:2, we see here, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. Oh, there's no way that we can lose eternal life because God promised it, right? Because it's a hope. That's not true. I've heard preachers on TV, I mean prominent teachers, well-respected teachers on TV. And not on, just on TV either, but in congregations that I've attended. Hope in the Bible is a sure thing. That is simply just not the case. Hope in the Bible is not a sure thing. And all you have to do is it shows that it fails once. You don't have to show that it fails 99 times. Felix, in Acts 24:26, hoped that Paul would give him money. It says here, Acts 24:26, he, that is Felix, hoped also that money should have been given of him, given him of Paul, that he might loose him. Therefore he sent for him the oftener and communed with him. Did Paul pass a little dough under the table, a little payola? No. He went to Rome. He didn't get out of jail. He didn't pay. He didn't. That's a hope that failed. Herod hoped to see a magic show by Jesus. When Jesus came into his court, he said, I've longed to see this guy for a long time. I want to see him do a miracle. And Jesus wasn't in performing miracles at that time. So anyway, hope of eternal life is not a sure thing. Eternal life is not sure. You can lose it. Now, Romans 5:2, it talks about the hope of honor again, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And I didn't put it in the other verse, but this word hope has to do with praise of God as well. So, by faith we access grace, which gives us strength to stand. And the word rejoice should really be translated boast, brag. It's really not bragging, it's confidence. Boasting confidence in the hope of glory. And it's through grace that we will stand in His presence approved. In Galatians 5:5, it says, For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. The righteousness of by faith can be lost. The righteousness of faith does not come when one gets saved. The righteousness of faith comes by one who lives in hope of the gospel. That's the righteousness which is of faith. The hope of His calling, Ephesians 1:18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. His calling is unto His kingdom and glory. And that is a hope that can be lost. 1 Thessalonians 5:8. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love. And notice that faith and love go together. Did you know that faith doesn't work apart from love? If you don't love your brother, you sure can't live by faith. You sure can't please God, because God expects those who are brethren to minister to brothers. But anyway, breastplate of faith and love. And for an helmet, the hope of salvation. Now this is a salvation that can be lost. If you make shipwreck of the faith, this salvation can be lost. But this salvation has nothing to do with being born from above. This salvation has to do with the so great salvation of Hebrews chapter 2. It's a salvation that Jesus Christ preached when He came here on the earth the first time. John the Baptist preached it. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent and be baptized. And that's the salvation that can be lost, ruling and reigning in the coming kingdom. Now, in Romans chapter 7, it talks about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Who shall descend into the deep? That is, to bring up Christ again from the dead. Christ is risen. There's no need to have Him raised again. He is already in the heavenlies. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 21, who by Him do believe in God. And the word Him has a reference to the Lord Jesus Christ that raised Him from the dead and gave Him glory or honor, that your faith and hope might be in God. God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, that our faith and hope might be in God. And what is our hope? That we'll get the same thing that Jesus Christ got. Glory and honor. He, in fact, it says in Acts chapter 2, verse 33, that Jesus Christ received the promise. And that was after His resurrection. And the promise is not getting saved, okay? The promise is ruling and reigning in the kingdom. And of course, Jesus Christ will rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, I want us to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 14. It says, if Christ be not raised, or be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. In other words, if Jesus Christ be not raised from the dead, our faith is vain. Jesus Christ is raised from the dead. Now, continuing in Romans chapter 10, in verse 8, it says, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. The word of faith. Now, what I want to do is to tie this passage in Romans chapter 10 in with 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13 says, we having the same spirit of faith. In other words, we have the word of faith and we have the spirit of faith. The spirit here is not the Holy Spirit, but it's the attitude of faith. And Romans is talking about the word of faith. And it's based upon the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, we don't have to get Him out of the grave because He's already out of the grave. And His resurrection makes faith workable, makes it operable. Now, I'm going to read verse 13. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. And it's interesting here that the word believe and the word spoken in this verse, the first two, are in the aorist tense. I believed, and what I believed, I talked about, or I confessed. And then I continued to believe it, and so therefore I continue to talk about it. In other words, I don't stop talking about it. Now, in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, it says, if thou wilt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. The word confess here is in the aorist tense, just like the word speak or spoken is in verse 13 of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. So these two verses are speaking about faith. Not talking about how to get saved, okay? We don't confess that with thy mouth the Lord Jesus to be saved. We believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. This is talking about faith, the word of faith. Now let's continue. That if thou wilt confess aorist active subjunctive with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. I'm tying that together with 2 Corinthians 4:13 where he says, I believed and therefore have I spoken. Aorist tense. Confession. Romans 10:9b. And shalt believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. The word believe in this verse is in the aorist tense. The same as the word believe in 2 Corinthians 4:13. And what do we believe? That Jesus Christ is raised from the dead. We believe that our faith works. That's one of the reasons why Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, that faith might work. Then in Romans chapter 10, verse 10, in verse 10 in A, it says, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, or leading to righteousness. You see the word believeth? That's in the present tense. What I started believing in verse 9, I'm continuing to believe in verse 10. What I believed in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13, in the first part of that verse, I continue to believe it. And I continue to speak it. And that's what we'll see in 10b. In the heart, man believeth, present tense, unto righteousness. That is, the righteousness which is of faith. 2 Corinthians 4:13, we also believe, present active, therefore we speak. Romans chapter 10b, verse 10b. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. The word confession in this verse is in the present tense. You keep talking about it. You keep talking about the hope. You keep talking about the faith, which is the hope. You know what? You're going to have the so great salvation that this passage of Scripture is dealing with, not the common salvation. You don't have to be faithful in believing to be saved. Paul dealt with that in Acts 16:31. Believe, aorist, and you'll be saved. It's an event. This is a lifestyle. Here in Romans 10, we continue to confess. We continue to believe. What we started to believe before we continued to believe. I guess, you know, it's got started somewhere, and it's got to continue. Now, with a mouth, confession is made unto or leading to salvation. And I'm persuaded that this is the salvation of the soul, which is known as the so great salvation in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 3. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 13, we also believe and therefore speak continuously. It's in the present tense. We talk about it. We think about it. It's on our mind. It helps us to make decisions. I want to rule and reign with Christ. I better not do that. I know God won't like that. I need to be sure I'm praying. I need to be sure I'm reading my Bible. God wants us to read the Bible, and God wants us to be in prayer. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. If you quit praying, you're in trouble. Did you know that? If you've quit praying, you're in trouble. If you've quit reading the Bible, you're starving spiritually, and you're in trouble. You need to read the Bible every day. You eat every day. We need to read our Bibles every day. Now, in Romans 10c, it says, with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. And that salvation is the salvation of the soul. In 1 Peter, we see that. 1 Peter 1:5. Who are kept by the power of God through faith, leading to salvation, ready to be revealed in the last times. Here's a salvation that was prepared to be revealed in the last days. last times. This is not a common salvation. This is not salvation that Abraham or the Old Testament saints entered into. This is a salvation revealed in the latter days. And it's the salvation of the soul, which we'll see in just a moment. Verse 7 of 1 Peter 1. The trial of your faith, being much more precious than that of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory. If your hope is not abandoned, if you don't abandon the hope or abandon the faith or make shipwreck of the faith, you know what? You're going to be found worthy of praise and honor and glory when? At the revelation or the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ to rule and reign. And what is that? What does that praise and honor and glory come from? Well, verse 9 of 1 Peter 1. Receiving the end of your hope, your faith, even the salvation of your soul or life in the coming kingdom. That is the significance of believing it and talking about it and continuing to talk about it. That is the word of faith and the spirit of faith. Okay? Now, Romans 10:11. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth in him shall not be ashamed. You want to be ashamed? Quit believing what you have heard and understood and received and believed, erist. You abandon that, you're going to be ashamed. Romans 9, verse 33. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone, a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. It takes faithfulness in exercising faith, the hope, the believing in the present tense. Believing in the present tense is going to bring about confession in the present tense. And you're not going to be ashamed of the Lord either when you're asked some sticky questions about some verses you might run across, okay? Now, what does John encourage us in 1 John 2:28? And now, little children, abide in him. Live with him. Walk with him. Fellowship with him. That when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed from before him. Should be word from in there. From before him at his presence. It takes abiding. Let me tell you, when you're talking, if you're believing and you're talking about it, that's part of abiding in him. And if that's your lifestyle, you're not going to be embarrassed. You're not going to be ashamed. You know what? You're not going to be naked. Every one of us appreciates the fact of being caught naked. It's embarrassing. Well, you might as well multiply that by a factor of 10, standing at the judgment seat of Christ and having the shame of your nakedness appear. And so, we need to abide in him, live in him, so that we'll not be ashamed when he comes. Father, I just pray that you'd help us to appreciate and embrace not only the word of faith, but also the spirit of faith. Help us, Lord, to believe and to speak and to continue to believe and to continue to speak of things pertaining to the hope that you have placed in our bosom, the hope of glory. Stand in your presence approved and hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant, and enter into the joy of the Lord. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.